welcome to Spooky Empire Film Festival Series After Dark. Because Spooky Empire was over, I think again, because we have over 8 interviews that were recorded live at Spooky Empire that we'll be releasing over the next 3 weeks, so keep it locked here.
Presentation of horror, thriller, and suspense, and is intended for a mature audience. Join us at your own risk.
The Grim and Bloody Podcast. Sans my other 3 wonderful co-hosts. And I'm here with Thomas Churchill.
That's me.
That's him. And we're at SpookyCon, which is a great little convention. I have to say it's my first time. Have you been here before?
I've been here 2011 for a film that I had back then. It was in a film festival, a film called The Emerging Past. And we won 2 awards for Best Actor. For Brooke McCarter, who's no longer with us, from all of you Lost Boy fans out there, we actually have Brooke's last film. The Emerging Past is Brooke McCarter's last film. And, yeah, I was going to say it was Steve Dash's last film, too. No, but no, it's not. Steve was in another film of mine. And we won a couple of awards then. And then I haven't been back to Spooky Empire since now. They invited me. I'm their guest of honor for their film festival.
And a wonderful film festival it is.
It is outstanding. Everybody that Brendan and Alea are doing a fantastic job with the Spooky Empire Horror Film Festival. And, you know, I was very happy that I was asked to be their guest of honor, and It was fun, and honored. I was honored to be there. They wanted me to come and talk to a lot of the filmmakers and tell them, because a lot of, you know, it's kind of, I don't like bragging about myself, but
this is the time to do it.
But you know, I've been blessed, and I'm grateful for all the success that I had with filmmaking. All my movies come out on you know, the last 5 movies came out, went through Lionsgate. I have a movie streaming on Netflix that I wrote. I have various films on Amazon and Tubi and on the Peacock Network. I have 4 of my films. So I've been blessed, and I'm very grateful for, you know, that, everything that comes.
That's a wonderful spread of distribution there you have. Peacock
you.
And Tubi and so forth. I know people that have talked about being on Tubi. I'm not sure what the financials are for working with Peacock.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I'm out of that side of the business. I write, I produce, I direct. The distributors are the ones that pretty much make all the deals with everything. I believe on the Tubi has my domestic terrorism movie called Checkpoint is on. It's also got Lazarus, Day of the Living Dead, my horror film, one of my horror films. The Emerging Past is also on Tubi. And then Peacock actually has my Amityville trilogy, The Amityville Harvest, The Amityville Moon, and The Amityville Uprising, along with one of my family films, The Rack Pack, are streaming on Peacock.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Netflix has a movie called The Hard Way. With Randy Couture and Michael J. White, I wrote that film. So I was supposed to direct it, but unfortunately, schedule and how things work, I wasn't able to. So passed it on, and went on to the next project.
You know, that's the thing about making film is that in most industries, you start off doing some small portion and you grow and do more things. It's the other way around for most people. When they start making a film, they are the writer, director, producer, maybe the actor too, and even the cameraman.
And lighting and crafty. And
everything.
And sound,
else.
Everything.
And then they get to, up there and do more, they get to do less and less and concentrate on one portion of the craft, hopefully producing or writing or directing. Although the three great places for the artistic mind to go.
Right. I mean, the cool thing about doing it all yourself in the beginning is you kind of develop a style and know what you like and what you don't want to do and what you're good at and what you're not good at and what you stay away from and what you want to achieve on the next project. One of my first earlier films, professional films, was a movie called A System Devoured, a.k.a. Devoured. Done that a long time ago, that won New York Film Festival.
Yes, I saw that.
Thank you. And I literally wrote, produced, directed, starred, edited, was the cameraman, was the lighting, was the sound, did crafty. But it all taught me how to make sure you finish a film. Because most times filmmakers out there, you know, new independent filmmakers out there, they want to make the movie and they'll put everything into it. But at the end of the day, they may not be able to finish it because they spent their budget on something they don't really need. For example, I always hear the biggest mistake filmmakers make is they go out and buy the cameras and the equipment and everything else. Don't do that. Because there's a guy out there that wants to be a DP. You hire him because he already has his camera. He already has everything that's updated because he wants to be a DP, a director of photography, a cinematographer, if anybody out there that doesn't know. He wants to do that, so he's always going to maintain that camera. You know, the new camera comes out, he'll update. Same thing with sound, same thing with lighting. The gaffers will always have their gear. They'll keep buying more. They'll have a truck. So instead of the money that you're going to put out for equipment to do yourself that you're going to have an issue with later because you're not going to know it or it's going to be outdated and you're not going to want to use that anymore, you hire the people that own and you save money. And, you know, and that is pretty much one of the hurdles that they always make, and they always make, people say they want a name in a film. Some people go out and get some guy that was maybe on a variety show or a game show or a reality show. They're not names. They're not the people that are going to help you sell your product. So if you're interested in getting names, look at people that's making independent films and see who's in there and see you can get them. Or go to these conventions, these horror conventions, these pop culture conventions. Spooky Empire is a great place. Plus, in Florida during this time, they do two of them a year, one in May and one, in October. There's plenty of celebrities that you can meet that may be interested in working out a deal and being in your film. Those are the people, those are the names that you're going to need. Not, you know, oh, this guy was on The Price is Right and, you know, he was on it for three nights. And no, nobody cares.
Yeah.
So,
It's really getting your feet wet and understanding
right.
How deep the water is and how high your boots are.
Well, it can get deep in some spots, and if they're not ready for it, they're going to drown.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully being... Like I said, I'm grateful that I am, I hate saying it, guest of honor here.
No, you should be proud of that.
I am. I'm very
you
proud.
You worked hard to get there.
But it's very, when you know me, I'm very humbled. I'm a very humbled guy with everything that I've achieved. But it's still, everything to me is still surreal because I'm still growing in my mind. Even though I got 30 movies out there, I'm still growing and I'm still looking to do something, the next one, the next film. But I'm very grateful that I am the celebrity guest of honor for the film festival. And with the panels that I've been discussing that they had scheduled for me to talk, I was trying to help them not make the same mistakes that I would have made, or that I've made, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And, you know, it's all about, you know, the pitfalls and getting out of your bubble, you know, getting out of your comfort zone and moving on to what's real and what's not.
As an old teacher used to tell me, you know, good judgment comes from experience.
Yes.
And experience comes from bad judgment. So learning to go out there and get some stuff. You know, I'm working myself on a film right now. It's as I think I mentioned, we've got all union people there. And I'm just amazed about how smooth their workflow is compared to other films. They know exactly what they need. They know where it goes. And they don't even talk about it much because they all know what the other one's supposed to be doing. And these are people that have never met before because it's an industry standard. And once you get to that level, things can be a lot smoother. But getting there is the hard part.
Right.
You know, you have to face some very rough seas and some very poor weather to find out that that camera that you bought, the equipment you got, whatever it was, is not the right equipment for this. Might be fun, might be a good piece, but just not the right piece for that.
And not everybody is your friend.
Oh, but so many will say they are.
Not everybody is your friend. DTA, don't trust anyone. Trust yourself, trust your own instincts. You know, there's projects out there that I wrote and ended up given to somebody as a kind of a gift. That person passed away. That script went on to do other things, a little change here, a little change there, and ultimately became a big film.
Cool.
And no, it's not.
No?
Because my name wasn't on it. And I did it as a friendly thing for a friend of mine, just going back a long time, and the person that was in that movie ended up, it became his comeback film, and the movie went on to, you know, get nominated for potentially Oscars. And it was funny because it was a script that I wrote. And, 80% of that was my script.
Yes.
But it is what it is. You know, just be careful. We all have stories like that, and I'm not the first nor the last. But at the end of the day, you just got to protect yourself with everything you do. Copyright it. You finish a film. Somebody asked me today in one of the panels, all right, I got a finished product. What do I do? Copyright it. Copyright the finished product. Don't end up like George Romero with Night of the Living Dead, where, you know, the story's copywritten, but not the film.
I was just talking to someone about how back in the 70s when they made that, early 70s, it was like $2,000 to have a copyright because you had to get a lawyer for it.
Yeah.
And now it's like $30 you do it online. Yeah. So there's really no excuse for not copywriting something you want to protect.
Right.
And you should be protecting your stuff. There is a story floating around, and I don't know the particulars of it overly, other than somebody apparently came up with a script and showed it to some people. And the other people copyrighted it. I'm sure there's some legal recourses being considered there, but still, before you start sharing things, you either really, really need to know who you're talking to, or you need to have those protections in place.
Well, when, you know, I mean, being in Hollywood, you got to be careful who you're actually just having a conversation with, because the person, everybody around you is somewhat in the business.
Yes.
They're either actors, writers, producers, or whatever. I mean, you could stand on a corner, throw a rock, and hit somebody in the head that is in the business. The key thing with protecting yourself and everything else is, number one, you know, somebody asked me also at the panel today, what about a poor man's copyright? And I said, well, that's great. It protects you for a little bit. But God forbid you pass away and somebody's cleaning out your house, they'll find this package. Anybody out there that doesn't know what a poor man's copyright, let me give you a quick brief scenario. Poor man's copyright is where you take your material, whether it's a film, a video, a script, a book, or whatever, and you put it in a box, you go to the post office, and you certified mail it to yourself. You never open it because you only open it if you have to go to court. Because it's got the date, the certified thing. For that, the same money you're going to spend there, go online, go to, Register of Copyrights, Library of Congress, .gov. You can look up how to do it. It's between $35 and $65, depending on what you're going to submit. Fill out the real forms and get yourself truly copywritten. The difference between the two, the certified, mail it to yourself, the poor man's copyright, or the actual copyright for through Congress, through the Library of Congress, that's protected forever, the Library of Congress. If you pass away and you have this form in your jewelry box or your wherever, your safe, and your loved ones find it, it's a document that they can continue to keep your dream alive. They can continue to sell your movie, or if they want to do that, and continue to keep an eye on your work, your product, and then at least your family's getting the money, or whoever's getting the money. Poor man's copyright. If you go, you pass away and everything else, somebody's going to clean out your apartment, or somebody's going to clean out wherever you're living, and they're going to take this, they're going to say, oh, what's this old mail? Nobody ever opened it. Then they're going to open it, and it's ruined anyway. Oh, it's a videotape. Oh, do you want it? That's how it's going to work, where you're not copywritten at all. It's not protecting. It's good to protect you for if you have to do something quick before you get it sent to the Library of Congress. I would recommend do the quick little poor man's copyright, but follow it up with the actual copyright. That would protect you all around. And then once you finish, put the project in there to copyright that. You know, don't make that mistake.
Yes, you know, there are people who have, you know, they copyrighted the movie. Great, but they didn't copyright the script. So somebody else takes the script and makes a different version of that movie.
True.
And then there's a problem. Yep. Well, at least for the person who came up with the idea originally, because now they're not getting anything for whatever that other person's vision, and they can change it whatever way they want.
Listen, there's only 8 stories in the world. You know, Socrates, Plato, and Shakespeare did them all.
Yes,
everything we see, right? Everything we see is just a little taste of each and mixed. And it could be original, it may not be original, but it is original because it's something different that you're telling. So whatever you're telling, copyright it, protect it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's simple. You know, it's the easiest thing to do.
And it's an important thing to do. And it's one of those little mistakes. So many new and even not so new filmmakers make.
Yeah.
And we have to really pay attention to this. I'm a very big fan of copyright.
Right.
And they've been changing the laws a bit lately.
Right.
And I try to be... I would like to get, for all the fans out there, I would love to be more involved with that. So if there's a movement out there about upgrading the copyright laws that I could be involved with, I'd love to know it. So
well, with the copyright laws is, I think it's 60 or 70 years. But it's as long as you have that paper, you're protected. Your project is protected. The other thing, too, that people are, as I stated earlier, they pretty much shoot their load when they get in their budget and not thinking about post-production. The key thing with this is, I just want to say, anybody listening right outside of this right now before I continue, go to Church's Hollywood Moments on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel, like the videos, and this way you'll get more updated stuff. That's my show. It's a weekly show about me behind the scenes, about things we do on set, on films. You'll see me on breaking down particular films that we've done, as well as interviewing celebrity friends and the upcoming new filmmaker. So Church's Hollywood Moments. You can go to YouTube, type in Church's Hollywood Moments, subscribe, like, and back to this interview.
Eminently worth watching.
Thank you. The other thing that I would recommend also is post-production. When somebody has a film and they want to make it done, they get it done and they say, oh, it's done. It's not done. It's not done until it can pass a thing called QC. QC is what every distributor that's going to buy your film or take your film has to run it through a lab. And the slightest noise that you may not see, you may not hear, it'll get picked up. It'll get flagged. Then you got to do it again. This costs money. Making different sizes for your product, 16:9 for television, to 2.34, 2.35, God, I always forget that, is your theatrical, 2.39, is your theatrical, any various forms of format for your distribution that their clients require, you have to do. Closed caption, sound design, scoring, have what is it called? It's called a, sorry, I was asking myself and thinking about at the same time. It's called the dialogue list, which is your script just in dialogue, and there's nothing else. An M&E track, there's so many things that is going to be required that you're going to need to give when you're handing over your film, and make sure it's the right distributor, otherwise you will get screwed. 9 times out of 10, the filmmaker gets screwed on his first, second, or whatever movie. Just be careful. Read every fine print. Ask 150 million questions. And make sure it's the right place that you want. Because once you sign over that film to that distributor, it's gone. It's gone for a minimum of 15 to 25 years. And when you get that film back, you better hope that you copywritten and everything else, because it's going to be exploited all over the place. And little Johnny in Germany is going to see your movie and he's going to steal it because he can. And you just understand that everything you're going to do is going to get pirated. And that's a good thing in a way, because then you feel like, hey, you know, my movie was that good that they pirated it. You know, some movies never get pirated. I'm not saying that's a great thing, but...
Oh, that's, you know, sad.
It is sad, but it's like, oh, great, they pirated it in Hong Kong. They know who I am, you know, but...
No, it's sad if you don't get pirated then, because then...
Yeah, if you don't get pirated, then you're not doing the right thing. No, I'm kidding. But
I want to backtrack there for just a moment. You know, you're talking about QC. For those people that don't know this sort of thing, as we're talking about the cost of post-production... can you give me an idea? What does QC cost for a feature film, and just in rough numbers?
Well, here's the cool thing. You don't really pay for it like that. The distributor will add it on, and it could cost anywhere from $1,000, $1,500, $2,000, $2,500 every time they look at it. What you need to do is understand is put aside money for post-production. Your post-production budget is going to be a minimum of $25,000 to $65,000, depending on what you're doing. Yeah, it could be more than the film itself. Then you have to ask yourself, did I shoot a good movie? Now, the key thing is you're your first critic. So when you shoot your film, you're the first person to think about making a movie. Don't make a movie about a tree. Nobody cares. Make a movie that is going to be compelling. Make a movie that's really interesting. Make a movie that's going to make money, because it is a film business. If you're looking to get money from your uncles or your aunts or your cousins or whatever to help you make a movie that they're going to make their money back, because nobody's going to give you money just to give you money and not expect anything in return. I'm talking when you're really doing, you know, a few bucks, and I'm not saying millions, but movies cost money, and it could be a very expensive hobby. If you can't fund your own movies, and you're gonna go ask for help, you gotta understand they're expecting this back. Nobody's gonna give you money out of their nest egg, their life savings, just to give it to you for you to go and make a movie about a tree. Anybody that is gonna invest in your films, think about this. That's the hardest thing to make a movie, is getting your money. So anybody that's going to invest in your films, you have to go to these people that if they're willing to drop and lose this money at a casino, and it's not going to bother them, it's not going to hurt them, those are the people you want to help talk to. Don't go to, you know, Aunt Bertha, who's been saving $30,000 for a new roof, and you're going to ask her, hey, can I get some of that money? Because I want to shoot a movie about a tree. Nobody, don't do that. Don't do that to them. Don't do that to yourself, because you're never going to forgive yourself. Because if, God forbid, something happened to Aunt Bertha and she needed that money, you screwed her. So my suggestion is you look for people that have it, have the funds and are willing, and you write up a good contract that protects them and protects you. Never do anything in your own name. Always make an LLC, make a corporation, do something for the film. This way, when you have your own bank account for that film, which you're going to need, they can still see what's coming in, what's going out, and they'll feel comfortable. If you're just going to do stuff and mix it in with your own funds, your own home funds, that's not cool. It's not good. We all did that once before because we didn't know any better. But think about the outcome. Nobody wants to sue. Nobody wants to lose their stuff. Nobody wants to, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you made the movie about the tree, nobody cares. And that movie's just going to sit on a shelf and not even get picked up by a distributor. So instead of thinking about you are the first critic, think about who else is going to watch my film. And you have to be real with yourself. Rule number one, don't fall in love with your own work. Because if you fall in love with your own work, you're never going to sell it. You're never going to get rid of it. You're never going to push it on, because every person that offers something is not enough for you. Treat it as a business. It's a piece of business. Make it, send it, let people enjoy it. Rule number two, do not listen to critics. Do not listen to critics. Do not listen to the basement reviewers that are still living in their mom's basement and they hate every movie you do because they don't like you personally, because you're successful and they're not. And they're going to go behind a computer and type in the key, you know, whatever. And they are now keyboard tough guys. And they'll rip your films apart and everything else. Do not pay attention, because it don't matter. If your film is out there, it's making money. If your film is out there and, you know, keyboard tough guy watched it, he paid for it to watch it. So that's a win for you. So look at it like that, where don't look at your stuff. Don't look at reviews. Rule number three, never, never, never use your own money.
Yes, I've heard that.
Yes.
Of course, rule number one there was, it's going to be very hard for a lot of people, don't fall in love with your own work.
Because, that's right.
Of course, you're also your biggest fan. And
you got to separate. You got to turn around and say, is this worth, take yourself out of being you, the creator, and say, do people want to see this movie? Would people like to see this movie? And why? Why would somebody fork down money to see this movie? Why would somebody fork down their money and waste 90 minutes to 2 hours or whatever to see this movie? And it goes back to, is it compelling? Do they care? There's a thing that filmmakers are in that they don't realize is their own bubble. Everything is in their own little bubble. They don't know anything outside the bubble. And it's scary because they fall in love with themselves. They fall in love with their work, which is great because you have to be your own, you know, campaign cheerleader to keep yourself going, because nobody else is going to do that for you. But understand, I would recommend anybody hearing my voice and is a filmmaker to go out of your comfort zone, go out of your bubble, go to Hollywood, live there for 18 months minimum, just to understand the beast of filmmaking is, what it calls for, the business end. Because the first thing that's going to happen, they're going to pop your bubble. They're going to pop your bubble. You got to have thick skin, because if you don't have thick skin, you're gonna be this nervous Nelly. You're gonna feel like everybody's beating you up and nobody loves you and nobody likes your film. And it's not that. So one dude didn't like your movie and wrote about it doesn't mean you're a quitter. If you're a quitter, then get out of this business, because you're going to have a lot of letdowns. You need to have thick skin. You need to button your pants tight and just march to your own drum. Don't take no for an answer. Talking about filmmaking now. Don't take no for an answer, only in filmmaking. And you, yeah, I don't want to get in trouble with
you. No.
And then you pursue, you know, one door closes, another door's open. Believe me, I am true life talking to you about my experience. Doors close, doors open, doors close, doors open. Every time I turned around and said, I'm done with this, I'm quitting, I don't want to do this no more. I'm going to get spiritual, I'm going to get religious on you. God always throws it back at me. There's always a reason something happens and something calls you. Somebody calls and it's like, oh my God. And then you're back on that track. Because that is your inner calling. If you don't get that inner calling where somebody's calling you or giving you something and saying, get back on track, then maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's a hobby and you keep it as a hobby and you put a price on it where I'm only going to spend X amount of money on this hobby a year. But if it's in your blood and it's in your passion and you've been wanting to do movies, act, direct, write, produce, actress, whatever, since you're a baby and you follow that goal no matter what. No matter what people say, no matter what they do, you just continue and follow that because at the end of the day, you're living your life and you do everything the way you want to. Because at night, you have to sleep with yourself and you have to understand, hey, did I do everything right? Did I not step on any toes? Did I not cut anybody's throat? Because that'll come back to you. Karma's a bitch. And if you got good karma will come back. And at the end of the day, you know, you just one day at a time and live your dream.
You know, I have to say that with the advent of social media being as prevalent as it is, it is so easy for people to step on toes and so forth without even thinking about it.
Right.
And having some, you want to talk about religion, some sort of Eastern philosophy about being balanced and centered and doing what, stepping where you need to step.
Right.
Not trying on toes, but stepping where you need to step, doing what needs to be done. And always remember that that door that slammed in your face last time, well, you never know. One day, that door is going to come flying open because they're going to want to talk to you again.
Right.
It could happen.
It's an impression. If you leave with a good impression, going back to karma, if you leave with somebody with a good impression, you may not get that gig then, but you'll get another gig from them because they'll remember you. Jackie Gleason, one of the greatest actors.
The great, yes.
Comedian, philosopher, and entertainer, said the greatest quote ever is this. Be nice to the people going up because you will see the same people coming back down. And live your life by it. Be true to you. Be true to yourself. Haters are going to always hate. Let them. Because you need haters to make the positive go greater. Without haters, you're not, you know, you don't want everybody kissing your ass. You want people that's really going to tell you, you know, hey, this movie sucked. And then it goes back to what I first said. Is this movie worth me doing, putting out? Is people going to like this movie as a tree? A movie about a tree? No. Somebody's going to pop that bubble and then understand it. Why? If you're in a room and there's 100 people in this room and 90 people come up to you and kiss your ass, and say, oh, you're the best ever. You're the best. And that one person said, man, I hate your movies. I hate them. I think they suck. The rest of that time in the room, you're not going to talk to these 99 people. You're going to go to that one person and say, okay, why do you think my movies suck? What am I doing wrong? Or what didn't you like? And then that'll stay with you because that's a real person. Not because they don't like you. Maybe they thought your movie sucked. Now, think about, you know, big blockbuster movies that come out, the $20 million, $30 million movies, and maybe a critic is comparing your little independent film to a big $20 million movie and just pissing on it because he's used to $20 million movies. Then he shouldn't be watching independent films. Because with independent films, there has to be a room for error. they'll forgive you for bad actors. They'll forgive you for the story to be, but the one thing, the two things that people will not forgive you on is bad sound, bad lighting. And that goes back to what I said about post-production. Spend the money, get everything done right, so at the end of the day, they can hate your story, but they'll never talk. I mean, I have movies where critics pissed on them, but they never said anything about, I couldn't hear, I couldn't see. It was like, they didn't like a storyline. Okay, you know what the storyline was about when you read the poster, but you still went and watched the film. Thank you. You know, you wanted to write about it? Great, thank you. But I always believe any critic, if they're listening, or anybody out there that's a critic, give the takeaway and also give a credit where credit is due. If a filmmaker is trying and he only had a limited budget, give him that credit. You don't need to go and piss on him or her because you don't like them or you didn't like a last movie they did or whatever. A friend is in the film that you don't like. You got to look at what's good, what's bad. Talk about that. Stick with the film. And be true, again, to yourself, whether you're a critic, an actor, an actress, a producer, a writer, a director, whatever, singer, be true to yourself and do the right thing.
Well, I think it's about time we wrap it up. And, you know, it's so wonderful to get to have someone like you here that has been in the business and as someone that has to do the interviews, someone who's opinionated. Nothing worse than having someone come in here and say everything is peachy and don't worry about anything. I'm sure there are lots of want-to-be filmmakers and soon-to-be filmmakers that are taking great heed in the words that you've said. And I'm so happy that you're here at this convention to tell these young people, watch out for this.
Thank you, Al.
Pay attention to that over there. And you know what? Go out there and follow your passion. Like you said, decide whether or not this is going to be a job or it's going to be a hobby.
That's right.
But something. And enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
And hopefully everybody else gets to enjoy your work too.
Yes.
And there will always be critics. And you always, as my mother would say, always have one Dutch uncle near you.
Right.
And that guy that'll tell you exactly the way they see it.
Right.
That you can trust their opinion that they're not being just a jerk.
Right.
Because that is very important to have in any field anywhere. Now, before we go, you mentioned your YouTube channel. Where else can people find you?
Oh, I'm on all social medias. If you type in, you know, Thomas J. Churchill or Thomas Churchill, I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Church's Hollywood Moments is also on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, as well as the show. Also, I just want to give also a shout out to one of my producers and sponsors that is responsible for having me here at Spooky Empire is Left Coast Entertainment Group. You can also find them on all social medias as well. And my producing partner who's here as well, Alexander Zurich Hunt. You can look her up, and if you got some cool stuff that you want to know how or what and want more from what you heard on the show or saw on this video that we're posting as well, then reach out to us, and we'll be more than happy to help you guide the right places and not get, you know, fall into these pitfalls.
Now, one last question.
Sure.
What's the next project you're working on?
Well, we have... our last project that just came out was a movie called Devereaux. Came out through Lionsgate, stars Tony Todd and Krista Grotti Saxton, and that's streaming all over the place. The next project we have three in the pipeline. All I can say is under contract. I can't release the names yet, but if you keep going to my social media and my YouTube show, they'll come out.
So you're not just resting. You've got three fingers in the pots right now.
That's to be made. But there are four films that are finished and waiting for release dates. One of them is called The Salem Chronicles, which I heard is Lionsgate's putting out in March. There's also The Stepdaddy. There's also a Big Freaking Rat that did very well in Europe under the name Big Bad Rat. A Big Bad Rat, and you could probably get that on eBay, that version. But Big Freakin' Rat is supposed to come out in the USA. And another movie called Night Carnage. It's a romantic horror film. So those four titles are waiting for release dates. And but like I said, I think the next one that's actually coming out is The Salem Chronicles, which is kind of like, if you like the Rosemary's Baby, it's similar, something like that. But it's one of my favorite films that we've done, and I'm excited for it to be released.
Well, awesome. Well, we want to thank you for being here on the Grim and Bloody podcast. You've helped us. You know, as I mentioned, I'm a little beaten and battered here from my travels.
Well, you look great.
But I feel better having spoken to you. I'm going to go back to the film I'm working on with renewed vigor and hope that it's all going to work out. Because, you know, that happens oftentimes. You're working on some film or project, and about halfway through, you know, you kind of wonder, am I going to make it?
I love your hat.
Thank you.
It's like the Grand Poobah.
It is a bit. I wanted something a bit different. And
it looks
good. You know, understand, I had to do something about the shine there. To keep the shine off.
You and I go to the same barber.
Yes, yes. I have a comb, but I just can't part with it.
There you go. Very nice.
Thank you. Once again, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. Now, on this side.
On this side.
You tell, this is for my show.
You're sure.
Tell where everybody can see you and find you at.
Well, we have the Grim and Bloody podcast, and we're pretty much on everywhere. On Apple Podcasts, we're on YouTube. If you just Google us, we're everywhere. We're also on YouTube, Instagram, and of course, my show, Creature Features, is on YouTube. You can find it on the original Creature Features on YouTube or our own Roku channel, Creature Features Network.
Great. Can I have one of those cards?
So you may certainly have one of the cards.
And then let me check that out, everyone. You know, over there as well. We have two cameras going here, so I just wanted to make sure.
Very expensive.
And you know, this was great. Thank you very, very, very much.
Thank you very much, sir. You have a nice day now.
You stay blessed.